You're listening to DC Domination on the NovaStream Network, your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.
Hello and... Hello and welcome to DC Domination's episode 11? 11?
Wait, we've done way more than... Oh, and this is for season 2, yeah?
Yes, season 2.
11 seems fine.
Between season 1 and season 2, we're at like 30, nearly 40?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know, we got about 22 in season 1. So we talk a lot of crap.
And today's really no different.
Today's no different, but it's still going to be awesome. Because we're always awesome.
Yep, that's right. Always ready to do shows and things.
Yeah. Actually, before we jump into it, I finally just sat down. Instead of watching snippets, I actually watched...
I've been standing for weeks.
Should I get out?
I know, I finally sat down. I need the chiropractor. Oh my goodness, my legs are dying. I watched the Kevin Smith Dawn of Justice video.
Oh, Dawn of the Justice League?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, isn't it?
And it's so worthwhile. It's just like 5 clips on YouTube, so it takes about 20 minutes. Mm. So worth it. It just got me so pumped. I love hearing the actors talk about how they've... Even just brief snippets, how they've interacted with the characters.
Kevin just brings the passion.
Yes, it was very good. Did you guys watch it when it like first came out?
Yeah, we really did.
Yeah, we watched
did.
The whole thing.
We watched that, Legends, and then...
The Suicide Trailer.
And then Suicide Trailer, like, all in a row. We cried many times.
Actually, you know what came out of the blue over the past week? This could have gone in news, but I'm not going to put it in there because I only just thought of it. The Teen Titans versus Justice League animated movie.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. The cartoon movie that we somehow knew nothing about.
Nothing about. And Damian Wayne is the Robin for the Teen Titans. Like, what?
Sweet.
Well,
how did we not know this exists?
Well, I don't know. It's just it came up in my emails because I've got a Google alert that sends me stuff whenever someone posts about Arrow or DC, which is interesting. I got a lot about this this town in America called Arrow, which has nothing to do with anything. I just like a lot of people get shot with arrows as well. But yeah, it just cropped up there. I'm like, how did we not know anything about this?
I like the idea that you're like, you really just, the intention was just purely for TV related stuff. And then you just get a bunch of like, you know, another man died at the hands of the arrow.
No, there's a lot of cows. Just cows being stuck with arrows.
Arterized.
I'm like, okay, this is, why, what is with the world?
Sometimes cows need justice.
Cows need justice. There is actually a bat cow. Did you know that?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
It's from Batman Incorporated.
Yep. Yep. So, fun fact.
Good series for those you playing at home.
Mm. It sounds like crickets in the background for you guys.
Oh, there really is, because we're sitting in the office.
Yeah,
and
there are crickets.
The window is open because it's also ball sweaty hot in here.
I know, it's really hot up here as well. We had a crazy, like, 10-minute downpour of rain, and yet it was still, I don't even know what it is. It's like the high 30s, maybe. I might be pushing it.
Yeah, we nearly died.
You nearly died? Oh, the Geelong floods!
Yeah.
Yeah?
I was like, because I work right on the bay in Geelong, and the bay came a lot closer to town than it was.
Did you go fishing?
There was a brand new river right down Main Street.
Oh. Do they call it Main Street River?
No, it was just, holy crap, my cafe. That's what they called it.
Holy crap, my cafe, I like it.
Yeah, it was insane. Dylan saw none of it.
I was a good 25 minutes away from the bay on land.
Yeah.
I was worried. Had the mop ready and sandbagged up the front door.
He did sandbag up the front door, which would really help because all the water did pool at the front door, which was nice.
Yeah.
Except none of us realised the laundry door was open, so the laundry got destroyed.
I was looking out for a tidal wave. Didn't come.
Oh, gosh.
I had towels on the line. They got rewashed.
Yeah, that would be annoying, having to redo the washing.
Oh, F, they're still washing the line. Yay! I washed it on the line like 3 days ago and it's still there.
Just thinking about intense things like floods, anyone who's listening from overseas, Australia literally is the place where it's terribly hot, but
we're
also
like
can
the butthole
flood.
Well, where just
yeah.
everything the bad can happen happens.
But Mars is too. Segue. I mean, like, if you watch Supergirl episode 11, you guys would have had a glimpse into the life of John Jones on Mars. And it was pretty cool. So, with Supergirl episode 11, Stranger from Another Planet, it has Kara, Alex, and Henshaw attempting to stop a rogue white Martian, all the while defending a bigot who hates aliens. To protect Senator Miranda Crane, whose dialogue is taken straight out of Trump's speeches, the team take her back to the DEO headquarters, only to learn that the white Martian has adopted her form. The attempt to rescue the real Crane leads to Alex being kidnapped and John and Kara battling it out with the white Martian. Oh my goodness, the white Martian was so freaky. Behind the action at Catco, Wynn is actually distancing himself from Kara because of the smoochy smooch, while Adam Foster is closing the distance with his mother, Cat Grant. Big question, though. If you're from Mars, why are you white?
Dude, you can't just ask someone from Mars why they're white.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Yeah, I'm glad you knew where I was going with that.
Yep, glad you knew where I was going with that. But it was so good. Like,
look, granted, because I'm still really behind with Supergirl, I have no context for this entire discussion. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I did get to see this white Martian guy. He looks horrifying.
Mm. Yeah, it was like the actress. I'm just trying to look up her name now. But the actress who played the senator. When they morphed her face, because this is what terrifies me the most. This is why I stopped watching Supernatural, partly why I stopped watching it. It's because the part manipulation of faces freaks me out. Like, they gave her black eyes and they made her jaw just extend a little bit more with, like, heaps of grotesque teeth. And I'm just like, oh, hell no, what you doing there? No, I don't want any of this.
I don't want none. There's a
weird
nothing. Accent going on at your television. No one really has no idea what's going on.
I don't want any of this. So, yeah, I freaked out a little.
So it's very interesting, because, like, what about you, Dylan? Do you say something that you just can't watch that freaks you out?
I like the part where the monster did the things.
Yeah.
Did the things.
I called Ryan and I said, Ryan, you've got to watch this. Remember how Doomsday looks like crap in a Hollywood movie?
And then I tried to slap him.
I was a good distance away when I said
it. He kept a good distance, which was nice.
And then I said, watch this. This is Doomsday, but done properly. And I showed him the scene where they were outside in the park and the white Martian was lifting up cars and throwing them. And it looked a billion times better than the character design for Doomsday.
Look,
and more like Doomsday as well.
It does look like... It does look better than Doomsday, that's for sure.
Mm.
But it also just looks like they've just literally ripped the skin off something and
had
it run around.
It looks like a really tall humanoid... Who's like, yeah, just all muscles, but with like a white exoskeleton?
Yeah, like Alice.
Oh, watch your language. But
no, I'm in the tall, muscly part. I'm trying to.
Oh, okay. I just thought you were talking about the white part. That'd be me.
He's also a white guy, so yeah.
Yeah, but it's one thing that I thought was amazing was David Harwood, who plays Hank Henshaw. His performance was really good. Like, we actually got to see him act for once. Like, every other time it's just been like, no, Supergirl, go do this. And this time, him retelling what happened to the white Martians, what happened to his people, his wife, his two daughters, it's just sad.
He did some good acting.
Yeah.
And getting to see it as well. That was incredible, seeing Mars and the Martians living there and being enslaved. Mm. Like, actually seeing it.
It has me a bit torn, but one thing about seeing them on Mars is that I think it's great. I loved seeing how it, like, related so much to, like, World War II and the concentration camps, gas chambers with, like, the fire pits that they had on Mars, but...
Oh, wow. It got dark.
It's pretty dark, but it visually, because it was all CGI, I think they could have maybe taken a bit more of an artistic twist to it, because they have so much... Like, every culture has a different base of art, if you know what I mean. You compare the Aboriginals' art to the Europeans at the time. They're completely different. So imagine if instead of doing the CGI, they did something almost like in Man of Steel when Kal-El is talking with his dad. And they had the moving metals telling the story behind him.
Yeah, that could have been something interesting, but...
Yeah, but they spent all the money on the Alistair Man.
On the Alistair Man. Yeah, which is... Yeah, but they could have done something simple with moving stills. Have you guys seen, like, that Egypt movie, I think by DreamWorks, Moses...
Prince of Egypt?
Prince of Egypt, that's what it's called. Like, they did this one part, it's a dream sequence, where it's like the Egyptian, what's it called? Not calligraphy.
Hieroglyphics?
Hieroglyphics, thank you, man! Got my back! The hieroglyphics, like, they tell the story, they're moving, they're causing the dream, they're causing the drama.
It's because they are literal pictures. Like, their alphabet is literal pictures.
But it's still, it's in that art.
The general sentence tells the story, about birds and... feathers and eyes.
But it would have been so cool if they had the Martians art, the Martians kind of
It would be good to obviously to know that they're putting that much effort into the backstory of this race. That would be impressive.
But then again, it's a TV show.
I was kind of disappointed. Yeah, like I'd like to see his entire story told in an episode rather than just quick flashbacks. But I know that they wouldn't be able to do that budget. Wise.
Now, quickly before we step away from all this horrible imagery, so now this is something that you guys keep telling me constantly is you're not quite sure what the tone of this show is meant to be. Because you mentioned that it can be quite nice and bright and colourful and charming, and then there's this incredible darkness. So is this more of the sort of the same in terms of like we're not quite sure who the audience for this show is?
It's really interesting because I was flicking through Twitter and I follow the actress who plays Alex, and someone had tweeted her a picture her their daughter had drawn. So there's these 10-year-old girls, even younger, I'm not sure how old this girl is, watching the show, and they love it. Like, she drew a picture of Kara and Alex and John Jones, not Hank Henshaw, John Jones, and they're like, the best team, that's what this little girl has written. So they have captured the attention of this really young generation. And maybe it's a good thing that they're introducing these darker themes, because it's sort of like this has happened in history. We do have this idea, like with the senator who's like a bigot and who's like saying, we can't have aliens, we've got to keep them out, and pretty much Trump's speech. They're sort of making the bigger issues that are happening today accessible for children, which is a good thing.
True.
And whites are crazy. So they're firmly saying don't trust white creatures / people.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because we are all very much well known for flipping cars.
Yeah.
Flying.
My goodness.
We are all quite muscular.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, again, nobody works at that place, but Henshaw is like, I've got to hide my secret from everybody. And then he gets to the stage where Alex is always in his ear about things, and he's just storming down the corridor while people are walking past, like, I'm 317 years old! I've had enough of this! I don't want to talk about it anymore!
I'm too old for this.
And no one's like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, everyone turns around, and then Alex and Hank Henshaw just start going, put that thing back where it came from, muscle, help me! So help me! And cut! Working on a play, guys.
I like it.
Yeah, that's my theory. I want to see the White Martian again. I want to see Tawny Cypress, who is the actress, come back as the senator, but also as the White Martian. I think she played it amazing, especially when they actually spoke. I'm not sure what it's called, but the Mars tongue.
Marsian? That's really not the word.
Martian.
Martian. Yeah, they spoke Martian. I just think, like, both Cypress and Harwood, they did amazing in that conversation.
I don't know. When I watch it, I just see, like, yeah, they could only afford so much CG, and now she's the human version, and, like, it's her, and she's angry. And the thing that disappoints me the most is when Henshaw turns into Jean-Jean and does something cool, he flies around, and then he lands, but he never speaks while he's in that character. He just kind of changes back again and then goes back into normal scenes. Like, is it him dressed up when it changes, or is it another actor?
Oh, lip syncing is also really expensive.
I thought it was all just CGI when John Jones comes in, because when he's flying next to Kara, he is speaking.
Yeah, I think it's practical when it's close up, but he never actually talked close up, so you can't really really tell. I want to see him.
Wait,
just,
so
like,
they actually
the time.
Have straight up like Marshman Hunter Maker.
Yeah, he like turns into him.
Sweet.
Yeah, temporarily. He was flying around in this episode. Last episode, he was teaching Kara how to fly. This one, they had a showdown at the end of the episode.
But she knows how to fly. We saw it. Like, she flies in the
first
episode. Oh,
he's giving her training. She's rough. But yeah, at the end of the episode, between the white Martian and Martian Manhunter and Supergirl are all fighting in the sky, having a beatdown.
It's like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
I find it funny.
Holy crap, really?
Yeah, pretty much. It was pretty
dark. That's awesome.
And then Kara
at night. I find it funny how I really didn't like Jem. If you remember the villain from a couple of episodes ago, the kind of pink red guy. He was traditionally from the comics. He was from Saturn.
I think his name was Jim.
Jim. Thanos.
Jim in the holograms.
But he, like, from the comics, Jem is from Saturn. He's a clone of the Martians. So it's interesting that, and I love that they've done this. They've taken the white Martian and made them look something else. Like, they made him look actually scarier
else entirely.
I'm gonna get ya.
And then you'll see thousands and millions more in future episodes.
Yes. So I'm hoping for Miss Martian, guys.
Ooh.
I'm just like, because you can imagine the tension between Hank, Kara, and Miss Martian if they find out, or if Miss Martian just starts working at Catco as McGann Moore's. Just undercover, trying to get away from her people.
Undercover boss.
Wait. Flash is also great, so why don't we jump over there? Blah, blah, blah.
Good. Should do that.
It's really hot.
It is really hot.
All right, Dylan, you do it.
Well, The Flash, the reverse Flash returns in Season 2, Episode 11. The team discovers that Turtle is dead and Jay suspects Dr. Wells is responsible, and then nobody ever addresses it again for the rest of the episode. Meanwhile, Cisco asks Harrison for help in controlling his vibing abilities. Harrison agrees, and they trigger a vibe which alerts the team that Eobard Thawne is back. This version of Eobard Thawne is from a point in the future before he went back in time kill Barry's mother, Wibbly Wobbly Timey Wimey, and thus protected from being erased from Eddie's sacrifice, and he didn't go back in time, and my head hurts. Retrofitting goggles to induce Cisco's vibes, the team learns that Eobard is planning to use tachyons to return to his future. Barry arrives, destroys Eobard's tachyon machine, and imprisons him in the particle accelerator. However, Eobard's capture causes a rupture in the timeline that threatens to kill Cisco as he's phasing in and out of reality, so Barry is forced to send Eobard back to the future to save his friend. Meanwhile, Patty discovers Barry's the Flash, something irrelevant and small.
It's Patty, it's not Iris.
Yeah, for once. But when he refuses to acknowledge it, she chooses to leave the city. Caitlin tries to find a cure for Jay's illness in the meantime. And scene.
Alright, straight up, the first thing that made me so mad about this episode is just the literal emotional manipulation that Patty gives Barry.
Yeah.
Like, and then she's surprised of the outcome.
It's kind of like she wants him to fight for the relationship, which I get, but at the same time, it's kind of like, honey, you're leaving the city anyway. You've pushed him away.
But if she's so, like, on the ball detective everything, she would have thought, last week Barry was really trying to tell me something, and there were awkward moments, then he had to leave. It makes so much sense now. He was going to tell me.
Okay, and I hugged the Flash, and he was really thin and scrawny. Like, he felt very similar to Barry.
To
but
Barry's gangly
that's
body.
Just pure coincidence. They must both just be skinny, scrawny people. Yeah, that did really bum me. Like, it kind of really annoyed me. Like, that was that one second where I kind of turned on Patty a little bit. I'm like, no, F you.
She really didn't go out nicely.
Like, that was some, like, straight-up high school bull...
Yeah. Oh, my goodness,
like, the CW really does cover that, like, emotion, teenage angst. But,
I don't want to wait for be over.
Yeah, that one. Like, that. But with the Flash.
Yeah, I was disappointed with Patty. Like, I loved Patty so much, and I was on her side until last episode.
And then at the end, when she's like, help me, The Flash, I need your help.
And they run. He runs onto the train, and she's like, "Lol, jokes. I just wanted to know you're the Flash."
It's yeah. It's been
what a move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, yes. I hope Barry has some sort of hatred to her now, just a little bit. Stupid.
But then, yeah, Caitlin's trying to find the cure for Jay.
Yeah,
by finding
like
his doppelganger.
Another dude in the park.
Parkman.
Parkman.
Who was who, Brit?
Jay Garrick?
No, he had some fancy name.
He had some fancy name. Hang on, did I write it down? Hunter Zolomon?
Hunter Zolomon is the third Flash in the comic book realm. And
get out!
Oh! Actually
is the real name of Zoom. It's throwing fuel onto the fire that maybe Earth 1, Jay Garrick is Zoom, or maybe Garrick is Zoom.
Garrick
God,
and Zoom
Garrick
in the same room.
Zoom, like...
Well, I don't know. Jay's never around to help ever.
He's. I don't know what he does with his day. He doesn't have a job.
Zoom all day.
No, seriously, have we ever seen them like in the same confrontation?
No!
I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to high-five you. I'm so glad you're in this room.
Give him another one.
Ernie, another one now.
I do remember the first time, I was thinking back, there was that Sandman. They teamed up to fight that Sandman guy.
Yeah.
But that, I thought, was that Zoom? No, it wasn't Zoom. It was just Sand Dude. So, yeah, I don't know. What else is he doing with his time? It would be... I don't think they will do it because Jay Garrick is like... hero in the comics.
Yeah, but like how cool would it be if like Caitlin is just horrible at like picking people to love.
Yeah.
She's like, look, okay. I love the guy that you know, it died and didn't, and then he
died.
Blew up. Then he died again. Now I love this guy who has blood cancer or some shit, and then
he doesn't really.
He doesn't really, he's just zooming around.
Yeah, trying to then yeah. They of course need Zoom, what is it, Speed Force to cure Jay's powers. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to steal Zoom's powers. They're trying
But at the same time though, because she did test his DNA, right? And there was no presence of the Speed Force.
But Zoom is saying to Wells that you need to get Barry to a point where he's super strong so I can steal his Speed Force. And at the same time, Jay's needs Speed Force to cure his illness.
How can Jay do his fastiness without the Speed Force in him?
But what if it is actually just Hunter Zolomon? What if it is his doppelganger?
That's true. Like, if it's from Earth 2, though, like, it's sort of implying that Zoom is from Earth 2. And then it would be a giant mislead the entire way, though.
But they haven't actually said he's from Earth 2. Like, why can't he be from Earth 3 and just be a really buff Barry? Nah, not a good theory. Not as good as that one. You've blown my mind with Zolomon.
Dude, really, well done. Good pull.
I feel... Do we have anything else?
I want to change the subject, but as in, like, move along the episode, but I can't. That's just packing my brain
epic.
In such the best way possible.
And yeah, Patty Spivot, in the comics, turns into the X, and she did in the end of this episode.
Nice. You know how we did have the conversation of, like, well, if we know he has to end up, like, with Iris, like, what's the trigger point? And this is it. Her need for forensic science.
Yeah. Consolation prize. Your sister.
Oh my goodness. This isn't Game of Thrones, guys.
But I will put it out there, though. I did totally call why Cisco was having this weird seizure. I was like, maybe all this effing around with the like space-time continuums, like, ruining him. And literally 2 minutes later, he's vibing too much because of all the tears in the space-time. I was like, nailed it.
But why was only Cisco's life at risk? I mean, if it was because of the excessive vibing,
Eobard's capture wouldn't have had an effect. If it was the change in the timeline, others should have
others
been
should
disappearing.
Be disappearing. That's what I think as well.
Ah, mind links, bro.
Yeah, why was it just Cisco?
Because he has the sense. He has ESPN.
He has dumps like a truck. Truck. Guys like, what?
So we can just say it's because it's comics and it's Cisco.
Well, I love the dynamic between Harry and Cisco. I think they should get their own spin-off series. When he was, like, slurping the coffee at the start, he's like, don't.
Hang on.
Like,
Hang on. I've got my water bowl.
Yep. Don't. And my favourite bit, I only just thought of then and chuckled, at the end of the episode when they cure Cisco, spoilers, and he's like, "What are they? Let's get burgers." Is that what it is? And he's like, "Have you got money?"
No, yeah,
yeah.
It's like, hey, like,
what is it?
Let's go get some Big Belly. He's
big
like, right,
Belly
can
burger.
Can I get two double doubles? He's like, "You got money?"
I was like, just so you hang out all day, they just hate each other. So
he died in that room, and he's like, "Give me money."
I swear, they are probably going to be like the best of friends by the end of it.
I hope not. This is amazing.
Legends.
Yeah.
Frenemies of today.
I cannot wait until they go to Earth 2. I'm so excited.
Have you got any information on upcoming episodes that may be called just that?
Is there one called Earth 2? Because remember when I said there was one called Gorilla Grodd and I was really wrong?
Well, no, there is. The next episode isn't, and then the episodes after that, bear
with
me.
It's called Trips to Earth 2, damn it.
Is called Welcome to Earth 2.
Oh,
and
shit.
Then the one after that's called Escape.
Totally saying an Earth 1.
So Welcome to Earth 2, Escape from Earth 2.
Well, they're not really burying the lead, are they?
So I don't know if they're spoiler titles, but...
Let's look at episode 11, the episode we've just been talking about. The Reverse Flash Returns. That is the title. I mean, have they just given up?
Because
he's like, that's it. That's literally what the whole episode is.
The one where Barry leaves. The world.
Ba, ba, ba.
Now, I mean, it's confusing for me, and I watch the show, and I couldn't explain it to someone else, but I'm like, yeah, I get what's happening, but yeah. So, we saw Eobard Thawne a little bit, but really Wells was the Reverse Flash for a long time, and even though it's Eobard Thawne, quote-unquote, it still looks like Wells, and Wells was playing the character. Mm. So, the actor that played Eobard Thawne really only had maybe one episode in season one,
had one
to kind of like, and that he's come back. And he was really good in this episode as, like, the evil character.
But I do, like, see, time travel always ruins my brain. And when they're like, no, it's the same guy, you just haven't killed him yet. I'm like, wait, what?
And when you do, he still comes back. Like, literally, like, okay, Ryan, have you ever watched Flash? No, you got to watch this episode because Eobard Thawne's in it. He plays the Reverse Flash.
But it's not the Reverse Flash you know. It's a different guy.
He took someone over his body.
Yeah, and then that guy pretended to be the Reverse Flash. But no, this guy, like, if this guy died at the end of season one, but he's coming back now just due to anomaly in time. So there's a situation where he's like, he's actually the same Reverse Flash from the past, but he's actually in the future. But he's from the past because you haven't met him yet. It's
yeah, but not only that, he's from another parallel universe, but it's a different parallel universe to ours because that's two and they're on one. But he wasn't actually him because he killed the Wells on Earth 1. But this is the Reverse Flash, but he isn't the Reverse Flash because he's Wells, but he's from Earth 2.
Yeah. I just chose to accept it, y'all.
It's confusing.
Do we have anything else other than, like, trying to understand Einstein's theory?
Well, we've got, like, Wally West was back being all whiny.
No, what did he do? I don't even remember him.
They tried to put some emotional character in this.
Yeah, well,
Iris
went and visited her mother.
Still didn't
the
care.
Mother thing.
Had a touching moment where she was
no,
like,
that was a little bit nicer.
Yeah, that was a bit heartstringing.
That was the scene.
Iris was actually doing work this episode, wasn't she? She was, like, on her laptop doing something.
Yeah,
she was blogging.
Yeah, she was blogging and the death of her mother.
Door,
it was
yeah.
a shame.
Yeah. Well, she hadn't died yet, so it's just, like, future blogging.
Spoilers.
She's Zoom!
Not even a little bit.
Well, if that's it, let's... What was that?
I'm jumping ahead a little, but what if the person in the grave in Arrow is Iris?
Why did Barry not give a shit?
Why would Oliver care? That's a plot twist. I'm calling it here, right? Iris is in that grave.
All right. Well, if she is, I can say only you saw that coming. Because Iris, news! News, let's jump on over to news. Was that a poor attempt at a news thing?
That was the news.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman! Live at 5 o'clock. Live at 5 o'clock is the DC Nomination News with your news team, Dylan. Hey! Brittany!
Hey!
And Weatherman Ryan. Hey!
Alright, so the I just really thought this was interesting. So DC Comics has released teaser images for characters on Legends of Tomorrow. And it's quite interesting because first glance, they're just objects. And you're like, okay, what are these?
The pot eyes.
So what you're meant to do is you're meant to download or screenshot the image and go through a range of filters to try and find out what's in the background. I'm lazy as anything, so I just tilted my laptop screen and I actually saw what was behind them. So
I literally just scrolled down in the article.
Yeah, or you can scroll down in the article. So we'll throw a link below in the description of what we talk about for you guys to have a look at these images. Our listeners are lovely listeners. But it looks like we're going to get Jonah Hex, Sandman, Owlman, and Mahunkel, who will be joining the show.
Mahunkel.
Break it down. So apparently Mahunkel, who I had never heard of before, was actually the first to be called Red Tornado. Hot diggity. Red Tornado.
Oh, late, yeah.
And she wore a cooking pot on her head to fight crime. Because, you know, why the hell not?
As you do.
As you do. As you do. I mean, like, that pot looks...
I thought it was Ned Kelly. I'm like, holy shit, Legends of Tomorrow is going to get Ned Kelly. This is gonna
I think
that would
be epic. They should do that. They should have a comic book, DC.
Well, they're like...
Ned Kelly.
For some reason, we have to go to the Bush Rangers time.
Yeah, come to Australia. I mean... No, nothing ever happens in Australia, really, apart from weather. Weather is the bad guy.
It happened in Australia.
It did. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert happened here. Not many other drag queen movies out there that are that good.
The Matrix, technically speaking.
Yeah, that was.
I guess Mad Max.
Yeah, Ghost Rider was here as well, but we'll ignore that.
But
that
superhero-wise, apart from, like, in the comics, Miss Martian.
I love Cy Frankenstein, actually.
Wait, what? We got distracted by, like, queen movies.
Apart from Miss Martian in the comics, can you think of any other hero, not villain, hero that's actually Australian?
Campbell. Oh, no, there is.
He's a villain.
In Batman Incorporated, there's Aborigine.
Are you serious?
I don't know. Oh, there's an Aborigine. There's an Aborigine or the guy, I think the guy's called the literal Bushranger.
Sweet. I'm not kidding.
It's one of the issues of Batman Incorporated, because it goes around the world to bring in people. So there's Knight and Squire who are in the England.
Fighting Batman.
There was a bullfighter Batman. There was Batwing from Africa who got his own book. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was an Australian one. Funny enough, it was in Sydney.
And he really took off, clearly.
Yeah. Like, they're like, God, that guy's just got so much character potential.
Yeah, Australia is the ultimate place for fighting Bogans.
Like, why would we not? Melbourne used to be called Batman. Like, you know,
Batmania,
like,
yeah.
John Batman was the guy that used to run this place. Except, unlike regular Batman, this guy had no shame in shooting people's faces. Like, he literally shot, like, a ton of dudes.
Are you serious?
But deadly serious. There's a Batman park in here. There's a suburb called Batman.
I mean, like, this Batman guy shooting people in the face.
Yeah, John Batman. Seriously, check it out. Like, he straight up murdered people.
Back in what?
Really long time ago.
Yeah,
Melbourne used to be called Batmania. Like no jokes.
Mm.
Aren't you going to touch on the news of Batman versus Superman where they've leaked this Doomsday picture, essentially, with the Omega symbol in the dirt?
Darkseid.
Okay, hang on. Send this my way. How have I not heard of this?
Alright, so there's a leaked picture of Batman standing on a cliff face looking at a ruined city with the giant Omega symbol dug out of the desert, or what's left of the world. And it's pretty much been like, yo, Darkseid. We sort of discussed this with the trailer, as there's all the parademons and nightmare Batman, quote unquote. Like, it all seems like some dark sidiness, yeah.
Goodness. I found it. This is before Superman does the whole demasking thing, I'd assume. It looks like the same area.
We're in that same vision, yeah.
Yeah, where he's got his kind of coat camouflage Batman.
He's Duster.
Whoa. Sorry, I'm just pretty reveling good. In the awesomeness of this, how there's like explosions happening in the top, both corners of it. He's like Batman standing there like,
you can see Aquaman.
You know, I literally went to tilt the screen. I'm like, damn it, he's messing with me. Well, do you guys have any other sneaky news?
You never know.
Do you have any other sneaky news?
DC Comics are looking at essentially, rumor has they might be renewing their books again.
Yeah, issues again? Once again.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it. I just kind of read the article about 2 weeks ago, but that's very fascinating from a non-TV side of things.
One thing I found with the New 52 range is I stuck with Batgirl, read a couple of Birds of Prey, but it almost felt like they were too intertwined that I couldn't really understand the story properly.
There were a lot of crossovers. There were a lot of events. Like, at least once a year, there was an event. Maybe twice a year sometimes. But there were some good books that have come out of it. It's certainly too soon to reboot it. They're sort of looking that it might be either renumbering to tie in with the movies, or maybe they're bringing out new series to tie in with the movies.
The newer 52?
Yeah, the newest 52.
Newer?
Yeah.
Well, I hope they don't touch...
I'm curious, but...
I hope they don't... touch Batgirl, because Batgirl's running pretty smoothly. Like
on a good note though, it would make allow me to stop, because I'm a completionist and I can't just stop buying comics even though if I have about half of the run. I'm like, I guess I gotta keep buying Secret Six.
You're like, finally it's ended.
Yeah, I'm like, good, they're getting rid of it. Oh, thank Christ.
Batman, when they did the New 52, everybody got rebooted except Batman.
Batman got rejiggered.
The family came through and Batgirl and Robin and the history, but tweaked.
Yeah, it got sort of
not back to complete. But then they did have that Batman Year Zero.
Zero year, which is really, really good. That was also really sweet. And another in terms of Batman. So Scott Snyder's finally stepping away from Batman for a little bit, which is a shame, because him and Greg Capullo do excellent work.
But where's he going?
Where's he jumping to?
Detective Comics. So
yeah,
isn't
so
it
he's
still
Batman?
Batman,
but Detective Comics, it covers different villains.
Okay.
It's really quite interesting, actually. Okay. So when the 52 started, so the Batman run very much focused on those key villains like Joker, Riddler, you know, like those. Mm-hmm. And then when you jumped over to Detective Comics, you got a bit more of Penguin, you got a bit more of like the Mad Hatter, and so you went sort of a little bit different villains again, and obviously very good read. Why are you here? Read all my comics.
No, I've read the first three trades of the Capullo Batman and Snyder Batman. Death of the Family.
That's a good spoilers. One. That's creepy as.
God, it's
and the new
excellent.
Joker with the face taken off. That was and the
guy with the face with the two eyes. You know, the guy with the face.
I still haven't read Endgame yet, which is because that was the great. On a complete side conversation, but that was the greatest thing about Scott Snyder is he didn't rely on the Joker. The Joker came around once every 12 months, and he did 4 or 5 issues, which is still 6 months, really, if you think about it. And then he went away again. When he first started writing the Batman, like the Joker was in episode 1, we didn't see him for 12 months.
Like, so with Endgame, was that the one where the Joker almost created himself a omniscient presence? Like, he made everyone think he was
I'm not sure, but I know like he essentially there was a toxin and he made Superman go nuts.
I'm thinking of another one.
The issue starts with Batman in like some mech suit in the middle of Gotham, and there's smoke everywhere and everyone's grinning like fools, and essentially has to fight Superman because the idea is Superman like will fight until Batman dies.
Because I've read this one where
Batman's forever.
The Joker actually takes a whole lot of psych patients, and each of the psych patients has this story with the Joker, which kind of supports this idea that the Joker was forever, that he is the devil, that he is the jester.
In every issue of Batman, there is the main story and there's a sort of a B story. Mm. So in the back of the single, there's a couple of pages of a different story, but yes, no, you are right, that is there, but it's not the Scott Snyder story.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well,
I really need to get back in reading.
Let's head on over to Legends of Tomorrow, the second part of the pilot. Another just thrilling, I guess, title. Ryan, do you want to give us a quick synopsis of what happened?
Sure can. DC's Legends of Tomorrow, Episode 2, Pilot, Part 2. Tipped off to Vandal Savage's whereabouts, the team infiltrates an ammunitions deal with Professor Stein as their leader. Surrounded by some of the toughest criminals in the world, things quickly go from bad to worse when Savage realizes they don't belong there. A massive fight ensues and a piece of the Atom suit falls off into the wrong hands, which could potentially cause disastrous consequences in the future. Stein realizes the best way to retrieve the missing piece is to contact a brilliant man, his youngest self. He, Sarah, and Jax head off in search of young Martin Stein, much to Rip's consternation. Meanwhile, Snart and Rory plan to steal a key element in defeating Savage, but are still unsure of the new teammates. Ray demands to come along on the mission. Carter helps Kendra, remembering something vital. Now I'm really first straight off the bat. When I saw it was Pilot Part 2, I was like, "All right, yeah," because I felt like the first episode was missing something. I don't know what it was. It was missing something, and they sort of made up for it with this one, I think.
Pilot Part 1 wasn't a dead giveaway.
No, I didn't. I didn't read that. I never read that.
You know what was a dead giveaway? Spoilers. Carter. What? He like just.
Oh yeah, straight up dead, which is good. That guy's a dickhole.
Yeah. It's like I felt for Kendra.
Well. Isn't she wounded, possibly dying as well?
Yeah, but Gideon's taking care of Kendra. Because it's funny, like, I felt for Kendra. Kendra was, like, the actress who plays her was amazing. Like, you know, torn up. Like, oh my goodness, he's dead.
Boring.
But Cardo is just kind of like, ah, oh, he's dead. Well, I guess it kind of will bring the team together. Makes sense. Someone had to die.
No. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. It's like, the second that he's dead, she's like, I've just remembered that I love him.
Yeah, I realized today.
Boo.
I just remembered.
Boo.
Well, yeah.
It's like he said that nice thing. He's like, I'll wait forever till you love me again. And she's like, oh, you can literally see the moment where her heart skips a beat and then she's suddenly in love. Stupid.
I think the thing is she loved the previous reincarnation of him. But the current day, she was like, oh, hell no, I don't want destiny. What are you talking about? I want to make my own choice. So she's kind of like arm's length.
But that's the thing. Like, this guy is being all arrogant and jerky and is like, look, you will love me.
How many times do you think that he's met her, he reincarnated, and she's like, nah, I'm not having a bar of it this lifetime, and he's killed them both, and to wake up for the next lifetime when she is having a bar of it?
Ooh,
she
that's
doesn't seem keen
dark.
At all. He's like, he seems like this has happened before.
It's straight up like...
Yeah. You're not going to love me now, I'll see you next lifetime.
Yeah, look, you know, Vandal Savage has killed us 205 times. Really? Nah, it's like 6. But...
there's this idea that the only difference between something romantic and creepy is the attraction towards the person. So pretty much everything he's done could be seen as attractive or romantic if it was wanted. But because it wasn't, it was like, this is creepy ass, just stop, get off the ship, just get rid of him. They don't even, just they
makes,
just need one.
It just
one.
Makes me that thing, you know, old Family Guy, when it's like, when Sean Connery's like, you will have sex with me. No. Yes. No. Yes. No. Okay. Like, that, was that 27 yeses, 27 noes and a yes, or still a yes? You know what I mean? Like, That's how I'm interpreting their relationship at this
that's
point.
I came across that.
Like, that's how I see Kendra and Carter, except while one's really dead. I don't really care for them. I don't have any interest in their backstory.
Maybe if they, I don't know. He's like, we were discussing this. They have to grow from a child all the way.
Yeah.
How do they get born?
Like, who borns them?
Where do
births
they come
them?
From? Are they just like a baby on the doorstep
it's
of
like,
the church?
And then
they're
a baby.
Or are they grown humans? Like, I never...
Well, no, they come out of a nest.
I figured they grow to be like an adult.
But that's what reincarnation is. It's like the soul attaches to the child. So I'm guessing the soul then changes the physical characteristics of
time,
the child?
Yeah, no, but at the same time, like, we know from flashbacks they look like what they look like now. Does that mean that there is some random parents out there with kids that look nothing like them?
And just
like,
accepting
we just have
it.
This random... Yeah, and then like that marriage falls apart because they thought the other cheated? You know, like...
And it's all because of some destiny plan for these two people to boink.
What I'm asking is, how long are we going to be away from, what is his name again? Kendra and Steve? Let's say Steve died, which he did. How long is it going to be until we see Carter again?
Like next week, they'll travel through time.
But will they get a different one?
Don't worry. They, like, as we learn from their quote unquote son dying, these people get attached really easy.
How the heck do they keep reincarnating the same age?
Like, my question is, you know, because if they're he pretty much said, "Look, I'm your son," and they're like, "The son," and they like open arms straight away. Like, so does that mean if, you know, Carter comes back and he's like, "Hey, I'm Carter," she's like, "Carter," but they like didn't even question the fact that guy could have been literal full of shit.
He's dead now.
So well, he's straight up dead, so there's no. Well, both of them, Carter and their older son.
Yeah. To pick up a new Carter, though, couldn't they just travel forward in time? Because I'm assuming that every other time they died together, which means that they reincarnate at the same time and grow together. So I'm guessing they'd have to jump forward in time to find Carter.
Maybe that's part of the deal. Like, in order to reincarnate, they both have to die.
Yeah, wouldn't that mess with time, though, if you take someone out
from the past? Yeah.
Time from what?
But if you go...
Yeah, like, you're not allowed to steal someone from a time period and take it back. That kid might not have... That old black man might have never been born.
But if they pick up the next reincarnation, then it wouldn't be bad, because then that next reincarnation would be searching.
But it's not the same Eobard Thorne.
Damien Dark was in it, though.
He was! He rocked up in some weird clothing,
cool,
which was rad. Now,
like
straight
up, Dr. Noah, Dr. Evil.
In this scene, like, Dylan and I were discussing after last week's episode, we're like, what the hell is the point of Stein? Like, unless Stein is literally inside the other guy, if there is literally no use for him. And then this episode, they're like, oh, no, Stein's actually important because he can sound like... He knows history.
He's arrogant.
He's a douchehole. And then...
And he can attack people with facts. The bombing of Utah in 1963. It's like, whoa, buddy.
I'm bleeding. Yeah, so like he does have his uses, which was really good, because I was concerned that he didn't have any.
I was excited that I think they utilized the time period better, which I didn't think they did with 1975 last week.
Yeah, spot on.
They were smoking together and wearing their grippy clothes.
Yeah, there's straight up drug references in this episode.
Cannabis.
And like, but I did also really want to see Sarah. I really wanted Sarah to bang Stein, so then future Stein could feel bad, even though he didn't actually do. Oh, I can't wait. It would have been amazing.
She puts the arse in assassin.
Yeah, she does.
I think
that would have been amazing.
Along those lines, it would have been awesome if they didn't show anything, but Stein all of a sudden turned around and looked at her like, "Oh my goodness, you didn't!" And just like, no explanation.
like that memory just kicks in and he's just foolish. And he's like, oh god damn it. Oh god.
Even if it was just like a full on makeout session, he'd be like looking at her like, hang on, what?
Oh hell no.
And she'd know. That was really good. I hope every episode, well, maybe not every episode, but future episodes deal with a single character like that and explore them a little bit.
100%. I really hope
so. Shed some light on them using the time travel.
What I do feel is a little bit disappointing, though, is with Atom and, like, his technology is now being, was taken by Vandal Savage's guys. It would have been a lot more interesting if that went over, a couple episodes. That way it would have added more of a stress, as in, like, hey, they've got this technology, shit could be dangerous, like, this could go really bad. But instead, Sarah kicks some dude, and just takes it. And then that timeline's changed.
Like,
I'm concerned that there's not going to be enough long-time effects in this show.
I feel that, well, I think every episode will be writing their mistakes, so there isn't a long-term effect. But I think that they need another villain. Like, we had Kronos, and he hasn't shown up in that episode at all. But it would have been more interesting if someone else had actually picked up... Like, what if Dark picked up the technology? That would have been interesting. Instead of having
spoilers,
Vandals...
So, Vandal Savage's house is the same house that Dark lives in Arrow.
Really?
Yeah. From that last episode in Arrow when they were, like... holding them hostage in the house.
Yeah, it's the exact same house.
So Savage could be the head of Hive. Is he ever the head of Hive?
No,
I don't know. Well, I mean,
but
what?
Either that or, you know, or he gave a really good deal to Dark.
Yeah.
But Mace Raids.
Wow. Mates rates. Yeah.
I like the idea, well, they only touched on it very briefly, the idea that they were messing with time, and if Stein didn't go to that dance, he would have never met his wife, and the effects of that. I'm more excited, so that's very Back to the Future-y. I'm more excited about them.
They even said Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's right. Subtly making changes to other shows. So let's say they subtly change something slightly, and then in Arrow, something's different for one episode, and nobody else notices. Like, say, they change something incidental, and Speedy's never born, and then for the next Arrow episode, there's no mention of Speedy at all. And then they fix it in another episode, and then she's back again.
So just subtle things. Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be cool, but that'd be really confusing if you're only just watching
like
Arrow.
Not fully making episodes about it. Like, you've got to watch Legends of Tomorrow to understand what happens in Arrow next week. Like, just little things, little nods like that. Like in Back to the Future when they knock the pine tree over and the Twin Pines Mall at the beginning is now the Lone Pine Mall at the end. Something subtle to be like, did you notice when they did this Legends of Tomorrow, you're rewarded by watching Arrow? I just want a reward for watching Arrow, really.
Oh, okay.
Anything else to sort of say about Legends of Tomorrow?
No.
It's definitely a better step up.
Mm.
It stepped up much better compared to last week. I think it was a much better episode. I felt that a lot of the silliness didn't feel as campy as last week. Like, it actually, because you know how my concern last week was the balance was really a little bit off. And there wasn't, this episode didn't try to be as dark, and as a result, it had a much lighter, consistent tone.
I think two things. Captain Cold was stealing the show with his one liners.
Yeah.
Where he was like, it's some douchebag.
Yeah, he was spectacular.
And he's like, we're just going to take our nuclear weapon and leave now. And the part where they stopped the nuclear warhead from exploding and absorbed it. That was epic.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Very cool. Let's jump on over to Arrow, season 11, titled AWOL. In this episode, Diggle and Lila's date is interrupted by an Argus agent whose name is Alan Chang, and he is on the run. I know, right? Gosh! Can't we get one afternoon together?
All I want to do is just have a lovely date.
Before the couple could offer their help, Chang is kidnapped by trained soldiers. The team soon find out that Chang and two other agents were an on-and-off-the-books mission for Waller, and that the soldiers were a part of a group called Shadow Spire. After the team's first attempt to stop Shadowspire from selling weapons goes south, they team up with Argus and Diggle's brother to stop them once and for all. Meanwhile, Felicity blames herself for the failed mission and starts to be haunted by her college gothic self. Gothicity.
Mm-hmm.
I love gothicity.
Oh, we'll get to gothicity in a little bit, but I still think Andy's going to straight up murder Diggle.
Straight up?
Or the family. When he's out of the house.
Just murder everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll tackle the B story of Diggle and stuff first, and then we'll jump on to the Felicity stuff. Would that be the A story? What do you reckon?
Let's go with the Diggle.
The Diggs?
The Diggs.
Yeah, so... watching the show with you, Dylan, it has really sort of helped me...
Did I have my arms crossed the whole time?
You've helped me nitpick this show. Like, all the shows in this big, bad way. Like, it hasn't taken away my enjoyment of them, but... we're noticing a lot of the shortcomings together, and it's really fun. Like, there's a scene, spoilers, Amanda Waller gets literally shot in the face on video, and no one, like, and then Andy's like, hey, looks like there's a gun on your wife. No one noticed that she was shot in the face.
He was just sitting there, like, staring at the bars, uninterested.
Like, it's little details that we just pick up on now that, like, I end up nitpicking a show.
Yeah.
Well, Amanda Waller did get shot clean in the face, didn't she? Do you think she's actually dead? Looked pretty dead.
She's dead.
With the dead arrow.
Do you think it's one of those Warner Brothers attempts at saving confusion for moviegoers by taking a character out so there's not two at once?
Yes and no, because, well, as we know, Warner Brothers and DC Comics they've come to an agreement that TV movies can literally use whoever they want. And
yet Deadshot's never returned.
Amanda Waller's
out.
I have a theory, though.
Harley Quinn's still not in Arrow.
I think that, yes, Waller is dead, but perhaps Amanda Waller isn't actually her name, and it's more a title, and soon they'll be bringing someone else in.
She's like she's like James
Bond.
That'd be sweet. It's really good for black women.
If Diggle dies, then that means the best agent or ex-agent to fill her place is Lila Michaels. Obviously. I really liked Lila, and... I want to know who Lila is. Like, there's not much revealed about her. I just think that if Waller doesn't trust people very easily at all. Anyway, that's just a really interesting character, and I think that Arrow could delve into her character a lot more. I don't know, like, perhaps she was...
Oh my god!
Like, what did she do? Whoa, what?
Sorry, no, I just had a revelation, right? Okay, so what if she does end up becoming Amanda Waller, but she has to be... You know, she ends up having to put a hit and diggle or something. Like, wouldn't that just be, like, the ultimate, like... And then Andy has to do it. Like, just this, all this destruction around Diggle.
But then what would Diggle do if to earn that sort of response? He'd have to go way off the tracks.
Well, no, I'm just trying to say, like, because if maybe that's the thing, you know, with if she does get pulled into the role, like she gets the promotion, and then she's like, I have to take it. How can I not take it? And then there's the animosity between the two of them. And Diggle's like, you know, Arrow's like, hey, don't do this. And Diggle's like, you know what? This is a personal thing. Gives everyone the finger and leaves and just takes out Argus agents.
I think this has been a good sign to watching this episode to see, we don't really need to see more Diggle family episodes.
No.
Especially not a whole arc.
We're having more fun. Having more fun making fun of the Diggle family than we did watching it.
Than their adventures in Afghanistan.
And
I thought it was...
Cards. He doesn't seem to find off count cards.
I actually really like that they finally changed the flashbacks. Like, the fact that
we... Just for this
one. Holy crap, yeah, there was no... There was no Arrow flashback.
There was. Well, there wasn't, yeah.
There was no island.
There was only Ryder.
Yeah, because suspicious angry black guy rocks up.
Yeah,
I think his name's Ryder. Yeah, sure. See, this is the problem with the Arrow flashbacks. No one cares enough to know the bad guy's name. No one knows what the female... Is she Russian? Ukrainian? What is she, diver?
I know him. That's his character. In the credits, it says Angry Beard Cracker. He's like, I found him again. Doing something sus again. He's like, look, I told you yesterday to stop doing this, and I told you last week and the month before. So I saw him doing something different this time.
Look, paranoid beard hick. Like, calm down.
Yeah, that's...
I think I need to take annual leave.
Like, how do you take annual leave when you're on an island? Like, really?
He's on an island. How do you not?
Go to that boat under the water of the sharks. Just take a break.
That shark that we never...
The
really
2 second
live in that
shark.
Cave. Take a break in that cave for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Gothicity. Gothicity.
Yeah, but come on, Brittany. Talk about what you want. Come on.
So,
the episode and the moment happened and we both looked at each other.
So
we thought, Brittany,
I freaked out a little in this episode because Felicity finally got a name, and it wasn't the name I was expecting, but it was okay. She got called Overwatch. Overwatch is great. It's like a protective unit in army. You know, they look on, make sure there's no bad guys ahead, and then sends the next unit on. But the Green Arrow then says, I would have gone with Oracle, but it was already taken. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Oracle lives in this universe. And I kind of died a little. Melted.
It was very exciting from an in-joke perspective. Head explodes, everyone jumps around and cheers. Logically, it doesn't make any sense.
No, not even a little bit.
At all. That people know them well enough to know that.
Oracle can exist, but they've no mention for Batman?
Well, that's what the season 5's flashbacks are all going to be, just Batman flashbacks.
Well, maybe...
Like, I love the flashbacks now.
Maybe...
More flashbacks.
Maybe the Green Arrow sat down with Jay Garrick and was like, I'm thinking of this name. And Jay's like, no, that's taken on Earth 2. Earth 2 already has an Oracle.
He went to his local bookshop and picked up the DC Encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And was like, what about Oracle? Not taken. Okay, what about Aquaman? She's a woman. Okay, fine. What about
Wonder Woman?
You know, this is pretty one. Let's call
Condiment
her Wonder
Queen.
Woman. No.
Yeah.
She does. She does request like all the tigress in the bed. No, that's also taken weirdly.
But yeah, that Felicity has some really cool scenes in this episode, and the cool scenes were actually just her talking to herself. It was very Orphan Black, where gothic Felicity was back, just taunting modern day Felicity. And then the perfect scene where both gothic Felicity and Ollie are chatting to normal Felicity, and they're just talking over each other, but not loudly, because Oliver can't hear the other Felicity. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. Like, the concentration the two actors would have had to have had is amazing.
Yeah, his deep, meaningful acting, I was like, wow, he's just really got to hold the scene and pretend that he's not talking in his ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way I
see
it.
But what's going on with that? Do you think it's real?
Well, yeah, I think she is having a bit of a... Because she would definitely be having a bit of, like, a depressed moment there. The pills would be doing something. Well, she'd be mental. But this is the one thing I think would have been amazing. If goth Felicity actually took over normal Felicity and started messing with the gang for a few episodes. Until finally Oliver turned around and said, yo, what's up? They fixed her up. And then, bam! Their relationship is in tatters. And then Black Canary comes in.
They walk into the Arrow Cave and all they hear is, when I was a young boy. It's like, God damn it, Felicity got the Michael Romance again.
Everybody's wearing black from now on.
Your name is now the Black Arrow.
You're the Black Arrow. And
you're
the
Black Canary. That
you're
can
the
actually stay.
Black Arrow too. Yeah, well, it didn't end up being that. That storyline actually finished probably a little too quickly. They wrapped it up a bit too fast.
Apparently all you got to do is say to your alter ego or your schizophrenia, no.
But look, in the same thing though, like, she is an exceptional mind. And it's a mind that's obviously used to pumping and doing things and doing a lot of stuff. And then when you have to not use that brain, you start doing it, like her brain probably would try to recover in a different way, and that's by making up this scenario. Does that make sense?
That does. That's actually a really cool translation.
Not doing what it normally does.
Yeah.
And that's why as she started to do more, it had less of a control over her.
I would still love to see more of Gothicity just popping in and out. Because I noticed that at the end of the episode, Felicity almost seemed more cocky, a bit more sarcastic than she usually is. And I'm wondering if she's now put up even more walls that she's like, no. Like, she's going the other way than what Oliver is going. Yes? No?
Maybe.
Because, like, they're sitting around the table.
She did do the reveal.
The reveal?
Yeah. Of the, like, hey, this is what I used to be.
Yeah, yeah, true. But then that could also be burning the evidence.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, what's more teenage angst than burning pictures and things?
Yeah, so maybe she is being controlled by Gothicity. Because I'm pretty sure there's actually a storyline where Brainiac takes over Barbara Gordon as well. So it's very comic book, it has been done, and if they are delving into the comic books and perhaps Oracle's sort of storyline, I think that would be
They've got to
really
start reading
cool
some
go.
Green Arrow comic books. They keep stealing from Batman comic books. Pile.
The short answer is not a lot. The only thing that I really hope they tackle one day is The Outsiders. Oh, what if? Okay, here you go. That's pitch. Have you read much Green Arrow?
No.
But so there's a villain that Kevin Smith created called Onomatopoeia.
Okay.
So Onomatopoeia when you write Biff, Pam, Bell, click, like. Like, that's Onomatopoeia, that's what it's called. And this villain only spoke in those noises. He's really creepy to read. So, like, that would be a good, like, villain to randomly bring in. I'm sure Kevin would endorse it in a heartbeat.
So what does... Do they say, like, pow, and then the hero goes flying as if they've been punched? Is that what happens?
No, he would say pow, but he would go bang, and then he would shoot someone. Like, he would say the noise. Like, he didn't speak, the character didn't speak.
He would punch someone.
Yeah. And the best thing, and like the whole point of this character was he was hunting down any non-powered superheroes.
Oh.
So any non-metahumans, essentially, if you wanted to bring it to this universe.
Well, that was Arrow.
Sounds like you did.
Do you guys have anything else on Arrow? Don't want to talk about any more CCM Hammer?
No.
The end.
Cool. the
DCM
end.
Hammer, that beats it.
Founder.
No, when, like, so there's that crime scene where the Asian guy got ruined, and then Laura walks up and she's like, hey, I'm your superior. And she's like, blah, blah. He literally burns the shit out of that chick, leaves, and then she's like, hey, Diggle, do you want to touch everything in this crime scene?
Yes.
Yeah. True.
I'm like,
very true.
Are you just going to walk in and let some random dude just grab evidence?
Well, I'm
and
pretty
the
sure.
His eyes, like, ripped out of his head.
Those
the camera zooms right up it.
Those cops are probably going to be knocking on his door very soon, being like, yo, your fingerprints turned up at a crime scene.
Like,
damn it.
Look, hey, Mr. John Diggle, your fingerprints are all over a dead Asian man.
Who
and
happened?
Like, and he can't be like...
And he was in your street earlier.
Yeah, and he can't...
Yeah. For help
and
out loud.
We've got CCTV footage of him talking to you. you know, and he can't dob in Laurel. He can't be like, hey, the DA let me touch the body.
Yeah. Well, who knows? DA's no better.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything rolls around.
Don't ask.
Like, that's what happens. And then, you know, then Diggle's compromised. And, you know, new Amanda Waller is like, look, we can't have you with
you
a criminal record.
Put your fingers on Asian people. That's not on.
Then he has to be offed.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously... Oh, wait, hang on. So... It's implying in the tombstone scene that he's like, I'm going to kill Dark for this.
Could be that guy.
He
maybe
actually doesn't say Dark.
It.
He just says he's going to kill him. What if Arrow's going to kill Diggle?
Maybe Andy did something. Maybe Andy killed Diggle, and then Diggle's like, Oliver's like, I'm going to get Andy for killing Diggle. Maybe.
Yeah, but why would he be so mad? Like, Andy is nothing. Literally nothing.
You guys aren't killing everybody.
Yeah, you could squash him with his foot. His arrow boot.
Well then. That pretty much sums up Arrow. We covered that pretty well. Let's wrap this up and peace out. So
let's wrap this up like a dead Asian man in an alleyway.
Yes. Don't do that
analogy
at home.
No, it's a reference to the TV show. Like,
yeah. I'm just telling our viewers, you know, don't do this at home. You know what? Yeah, the disclaimer that you have to do. And anyway, my name is Brittany, and I have been your host tonight. With me is Dylan.
I'm still traumatized. Yes, I am here. I am also here.
He is also here. Where else are you also?
I'm also on the Marvelous podcast, which will have our first YouTube episode up hopefully tonight and or tomorrow. But look forward to that. We're talking about Deadpool and also some news in anticipation for the new movie.
Fantastic. With me also is Ryan.
Yeah, look, my little thing to go out with this week is don't mess up crime scenes. Just don't do it.
But where else can the audience hear your pieces of wonderful advice?
I'm also on the Game Over Remastered podcast, which NovaStream's video game show. That kicks back in this week. And every week you can also always find me at The Pop Culturist, which is the lovely YouTube show that hosts my friend Josh Saunders. Currently we're covering all the Oscars movies, all the best pictures. So week by week we're breaking it down, having a look at all the movies up until the ceremony in early March. What about you, Brittany? What's your little advice to finish the show off? Where can they find you?
You can find me more of me, just written reviews online. You can find my wonderful pretty face on videos on our DC Domination.
Arrogant.
Yeah, arrogant, I know, right? Brittany, gosh. She should just...
Arrogant.
Just... Oi! Very wonderful. Yeah, you can see a couple of videos of the Who's Who in DCU on our YouTube channel, some vlogs of the Sydney trip, and all three of us have some pretty awesome written reviews online, so if you want to check out what the episode's like before you watch it, have a look over there. And
or like some other things, like other reviews and things we've written.
Definitely. So jump aboard to novastream.com.au. And be sure to go mad, but stay sane, and make sure all your universes are good ones.
You're listening to DC Domination on the NovaStream Network,
your weekly guide for the DC Comics universe. For all the latest on The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow, keep it locked on novastream.com.au.
Like, I loved that they showed that. I loved... Oh, sorry, that's going to come into the recording, so I'll start again.
A lot of pain. This is how she feels.
This is how I feel.